Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. And on the phone, I believe, from Los Angeles, is the great Ron Dante. Thanks for joining us tonight, Ron.
Hey, it's good to be here.
You're the voice of Sugar Sugar, the big Archie's hit from 1969. You know, I was doing my research the other night. That was a number one hit of all in 1969, right, in the United States, Sugar Sugar?
Yes, it was the number one record of the year. Got more plays than anybody.
Isn't that something? And what we played there was a little bit of the disco version. When did you do the disco version of Sugar Sugar?
You know, I did the disco version about 1975, and I did it with the guy I was producing at the time, who did the arrangement and sang background with me, Barry Manilow. Yes, Barry Manilow. Amazing. We came all the way from the Archies to Barry Manilow.
So I've got some Barry questions, but for the listeners, how did the whole, and I'm even curious, but I've got the 45s, I've got Bang Shang-a-Lang and Sugar Sugar and all that, but how did the whole Archies thing come into your world?
Well, I knew Don Kirshner, and he was a big music impresario in the 60s. I actually was a songwriter signed to his stable of writers in the 60s. So about 1969, he was given he was going to do a TV show, do the music supervision for a TV show, animated show called The Archies, based on the Archie comic books, Betty, Veronica, and Archie. So I gave him a call. I heard you need a lead singer, and he said, sure, come on over. And I went over to the studio, and I got the job as the lead singer of the Archies. I knew it had a really good shot at being a hit because Don Kirshner was a real winner. I mean, he knew what he was doing. He was the man behind the Monkees, put all those songs together for the Monkees, all the producers. So he said to me, I wanted a group that didn't talk back. So he got the Archies.
Now, that song was written now. Our 60s pop historians will know the names Jeff Barry and Andy Kim. They wrote Sugar Sugar, right?
Oh, yeah. And Jeff Barry, of course, he wrote, maybe 100 hits over the 60s, from the biggest being Be My Baby, Hanky Panky, The Do Run Run, Then He Kissed Me. I mean, he wrote tons of hits. And, of course, Andy Kim wrote, what was his big hit? Yeah. Rock Me Gently.
Right.
So they were very talented guys.
Now, for our younger listeners, describe. I want to get a little bit of a image with Don Kirshner. We know him from Don Kirshner's rock concert. I know you know Paul Schaefer, who's been on the show. Paul Schaefer did that great Kirshner imitation. But tell us who Don Kirshner was.
Well, he was a music man. He loved songwriters. And at a certain time, he sang maybe he had people on the staff. First time I walked into his office, and I was signed as a staff songwriter, demo maker at 17. Sitting in cubicles was Carole King, Neil Sedaka, and Tony Orlando to begin with. I mean, and they're all getting their careers going. I mean, he had it. He was like your uncle. You know, on Sunday, an uncle would come to visit, and he'd slip you a couple of dollars and say, don't tell your father. Yeah. He was that kind of guy. He was a terrific guy, very, very savvy about songs. He had a really good ear.
Yeah, where did that ear come from? Where did that ear come from?
I don't know. He grew up in the Bronx, and he loved songs and music. He was partnered with Bobby Darin when he first started his music companies. He just loved music. And when you were around him, you knew that he loved music. And if you could sing and write, he liked you. And he was a great guy. He was one of those nice men that, you would always want to be around. Every time he called me, something good was happening.
Was his office, was he by the Brill Building there?
He was across the street at 1650 Broadway, which was the other music building. There was like record companies and publishers and managers and, artists singing in the hallways. It was exactly like the Brill Building, only it was across the street.
So people really, when the Archies, you did Bang Shang-a-Lang, maybe we'll play a little bit of Jingle Jangle later, but people really didn't know who you were, right? I mean, you were this guy with the Archies.
Yeah, I was anonymous. Don Kirshner said to me, it's an animated group, and you're going to be anonymous for a little while because it's the group. It's the animated Archies. And I was fine with that. I had no problem with that. It was my job, and I was so happy to sing great songs and be on the radio. It was just, what a kick.
And you also did, was it 69? You also did, what was the Cufflinks? That was another song I remember, Tracy.
Oh, yeah. That was in the top 10 at the same time as the Archies. Archies were number one, and Tracy was number 9. And I was still anonymous. It was a great kick. But, it was that really weird, being getting your records, both your records played in the same hour. and nobody still knew my name for a while. But I knew the good things would come around. I knew it would come around.
Now, who were the cufflinks?
It was just me. I overdubbed my voice 20 times, and I wanted to sound like the Association or the Turtles. So it was really a cool thing to, you know, I was doing ba-ba-ba's in it, and I was channeling those groups and the backgrounds that they would do. And, I did all the voices in about 2 hours, and about 3 months later, it was in the top 10.
I didn't know that.
I
didn't know that. So that was all you. The cufflinks was all you.
Yes, you listen to Tracy, all these ancillary background voices, and that's all me.
So the reason we have you on is you're going to be at the Happy Together Tour at Four Winds New Buffalo's Silver Creek Event Center on Friday, August 11th at 8 p.m. over there in New Buffalo, Michigan. So this is quite a bill. I mean, it's got the Turtles with Flo and Eddie, featuring Flo and Eddie, the Association, the Box Tops, who I've seen, actually, without the late Alex Chilton, Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night, the Cowsills, and then you. So what's it like? I mean, do people know this history when you take the stage?
They kind of do a build-up. Scott Shannon, the radio DJ, does the build-up audio for us. And they kind of mentioned the Archie universe and that this was the lead singer of this group was blah, blah, blah. But I still have to explain a little bit to the audience, even after the introduction of who I am. But I have a lot of fans who have discovered me on the internet over the years. And there's one of my Ron Dante videos where I'm singing Sugar Sugar live, not live, but videoed in 4 or 5 frames. I did different parts, and it's been viewed over 10 million times. So obviously people have discovered who the Archies and Sugar Sugar are. And but I do a little explanation when I start my show, and I tell them how it all came about. But it's fun. And once the music starts, people jump right in there.
Is there a house band? How does it work? What will people see on the 11th?
Well, we have a great band that copied the arrangement of Sugar Sugar and Tracy and anything else I'll be doing. I'll be doing Jingle Jangle and Bang Shang-a-Lang. And they copy the arrangement perfectly. All the sounds are perfect. Same keys. And they'll be hearing a great rendition of Sugar Sugar, because I know a lot of people will be hearing Sugar Sugar for the first time live. So I really try to do it as best I can. And unfortunately, I can still sing it in the same key, and it's the same sound.
That's Dan Long. That's why I'm going to this show. I'm going. It's the New Buffalo on the 11th. We're off.
You'll love it. It'd be great. We even have videos behind us, so you'll see some cartoons behind me. It's a real kick.
Well, it's a fascinating. It's a fascinating musical story. I mean, 1969. I mean, maybe if you can, and I know you've spent your whole life in music. I know you can answer this. In 1969, you have the Stones, you have the Beatles, and then you guys just, this whole Archies thing becomes number one. Why did that song resonate so much in 1969?
I think there was, first of all, it was very danceable, and a lot of the clubs played it. There was a lot of those dance clubs played it, and around the world, it was number one. In England, South Africa, Japan, everywhere you could go. I sang in different cities, France and Rome and then London, and the record was being played in the clubs there. And I think there was something about the magic of that record, the instrumentation, the song itself, and the sound that we made. And it was an innocent time, too, but it was an innocent record. It didn't protest. It wasn't edgy. It was just fun. And I think people needed some relief during that year and those years that were happening. You know, it was rough. The Vietnam War, there was all kinds of problems going on. And it was a relief, and people smiled. And every time I sing it, I can see the audience break into a big smile when we hit ba 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 ba. You know, they hear that figure and they go crazy.
So Kirshner then in 1970 decides to take you out of the Archies, and you do this solo record. And I don't know much about this record. I know it's called Ron Dante Brings You Up. So that's kind of your coming out thing from after the Archies. People get to know who you are.
Yeah, and it was well publicized. The thing is, I think people liked me in the Archies. they really didn't want me in as a soloist at that point. The Archies was so big. The record was such a big hit that I think they had to continue that franchise. So we did it. I got some airplay and then went back to doing more Archie albums.
So at the same time, you were also doing jingle work. That was like your bread and butter, wasn't it? You were doing tons of jingle work in New York, right?
Yes, I was a jingle singer. I sang commercials for every product known to man, and it was fun. I would get up in the morning and run to the studios, and they put the jingle in front of me, whether it's McDonald's or Pepsi or Coke, and I would sing it. And it was a great business. I mean, I was in music business, and it was just fun. And I sometimes in an hour I'd hear both my hit records and two or three of my jingles on the radio. I mean, it was like a gift. I said, I am the luckiest singer in the world. And I knew it was a blessing to be on the radio and get your voice heard. So it was a great time. A lot of my friends wrote commercials. I worked for some of the biggest jingle producers in New York City. And they called me for all kinds of things, you know, Dr. Pepper, and, you know, you name it, I sang for it.
I'm looking at the CD I bought. I might have gotten this off your own website, but it says here, this is Ron Dante Anthology, Sunset Boulevard. But you made national TV jingles. I'm reading right off the liner notes for American Airlines, Coca-Cola, Tang. I remember Tang and Gillette. I must have been 20 different groups over the years, laughs Dante. That's great.
Well, they kept putting out my demos. I knew all the songwriters in New York City, and they would call me in to do their demos for other artists. But the demos turned out so well that they would put it out under some crazy group name, like Ronnie and the Dirt Riders or Noah's Ark or the $2 Question. I mean, I was like all these crazy groups that came out. So we thought we'd put them on the anthology anyway. You know, it's conversation. You know,
Dante's Inferno. At the end of the show, we're gonna play a little bit of Skate Key Boogie. That's Dante's Inferno.
Oh yeah, I went crazy. Yeah, I went crazy with disco. I just loved disco at the time. Everybody was into it. So we had a lot of fun doing the Dante's Inferno album.
So I'm going a little in chronological order. So then Kirshner does another cartoon thing, The Amazing. So let's see, 1972, I would have been 17. So maybe I was done with my cartoon day. So I missed this, The Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan, the detective thing. And then you wrote songs for that.
Yeah, I wrote about 10 songs for it. It was great. It was an animated group of Charlie Chan, the great legendary sleuth, and his kids. And his kids had a band. And I ended up writing a bunch of songs and singing. And if you listen to it, it's the Archies, only it's Charlie Chan's kids. But it was great.
Now, is that where you meet Manlow and Valerie Simpson and people like that? Were they in a group involved with that, a session group or anything?
They actually did some backgrounds on there. But I actually met Manlow singing a commercial for Pepsi. And he had written it. And they booked me to sing on there with him. And on that date was Melissa Manchester, Valerie Simpson, Manlow, and myself. And it was, boy, what a great sounding group that was. And that's when I met him, and he asked me if he needed a producer. He said, would you produce me? And I listened to a couple of his songs. I said, absolutely, yeah.
And that was, I have here, 73 to 81, around then, the period you
were. Yeah, exactly. We had a bunch of good years just recording great songs. And the people really responded to it.
And do we hear you on songs like Mandy, like backup?
Yeah, I'm doing backup on every one of his hits. In fact, Manlow and I did all the backgrounds. I write the songs, Can't Smile Without You, all those hit record Mandy. If you listen to the background groups, it's just Manlow and I singing O's and A's or words together, and we multi-tracked our voices. So it sounds like a choir on I Write the Songs, but it's just Manlow and I.
So I knew about you, but here's the most amazing Ron Dante fun fact I can come up with. I did not know this till this week. You were publisher of the Paris Review between 1978 and 85?
Yes. Yes, talk about stretching. Yeah, it's so funny. My next-door neighbor in New York City was a guy named George Plimpton, famous. Right, for his amateur antics, being a hockey player, a basketball player, a fighter. Anyway, he was my next-door neighbor. We met one night and became fast friends. And at one point, he mentioned the Paris Review, which I knew was a very beautiful literary magazine in almost every college town around the country. So he said to me, we've lost our publisher. We have to go out of business. Would you like to take over? I said, well, we play pool every Sunday together. I said, if you can beat me this game, I'll be the publisher. And sure enough, he ran the table. And all of a sudden, I was the publisher of the Paris Review for a bunch of years.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
What was that
amazing.
Like?
It was unbelievable. You won't believe his parties. I mean, he would throw a party next door on a, you know, on a special night, and there'd be guy, there'd be a, everybody's drinking, carousing, having a lot of fun at the party. But there'd be like Norman Mailer would be in one corner, and Woody Allen would be in another corner, and Kennedy would be in the other corner, and Howard Cosell would be in the middle with a cigar talking to people. He had the most famous friends you've ever seen in your life at these parties, and I got to talk to each one. And, you know, it was like that's why I did the Paris Review. I wanted to meet all these famous people.
So did when you met them, did they know that you were the lead singer of the Archies?
You know, he would introduce me as that, and some of them would look at me askance, and others would go, oh, very interesting. I know that record. And they'd go, oh, honey, honey. One or two of them. Woody Allen knew Sugar Sugar very well. Cosell couldn't care less. Norman Mailer wanted to fight. That's all he wanted to do is beat people up at these parties. He was a very funny guy, but he was really violent. And you never could tell what was going to happen. But George would introduce me, you know, as his close friend and the publisher. This is the publisher of the Paris Review. You know, he'd introduce me like that. But it was a great time. You know, you never could tell who you're going to bump into. I met Jackie Onassis at one of his parties. I said, my God, I'm meeting everybody.
Last question. We got to take a break here, but I don't want to leave this subject. What when you were the editor? Do you have any good literary memories of something you worked on or something that resonated?
Oh, I remember that we were talking about who should we what interview that he's done would be an anniversary, and I said, how about Hemingway? So I've got to read a private interview with Ernest Hemingway, and which. Unbelievable. You got the things he said, and we printed it in one of our special editions. So that was a great moment to be able to read these words that this famous writer had responded to the questions. He very rarely did interviews.
Yeah, that's a fascinating story. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with one more segment with the awesome Ron Dante on WGN's Nocturnal Journal. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. We're on the phone with Ron Dante, the voice of the Archies. And that's Jingle Jangle, a 1970 hit for the Archies. Tell me the backstory of Jingle Jangle, Ron.
Well, yeah, well, as you can hear, the lead is very high, singing in falsetto. And some people thought it was a girl all the way through, but it's really me. The girl singer who does the singies in the opening is Miss Toni Wine.
Oh, yeah.
Toni Wine, great singer-songwriter. She wrote Candida and Groovy Kind of Love. She's terrific. She's now with the Tony Orlando tour. She tours with them. She did the little Sing Me, Sing Me's, but I had to do the verses because they recorded it in the girls' key, but they didn't want her to sing the whole thing. They wanted me to sing it, so I had to use my falsetto. So I'm singing very high, like Lou Christie or, you know, Frankie Valli.
Sure.
And people keep asking me, how did you get that? You know, I said, I just had to use my falsetto. But it's really me. And I do Jingle Jangle, of course, in the show, the Happy Together show. And I have a lot of fun with it. But I do it in a normal voice this time because I just can't get that. I can't get my voice that high anymore. But it was a great thing. Andy Kim and Jeff Barry wrote this one, too. It was a follow up to Sugar Sugar. I have a gold record on the wall from Jingle Jangle, so I'm very proud of it. It's a lot of fun.
And again, you'll be at New Buffalo, Michigan at 8 o'clock on Friday, August 11th as part of the Happy Together Tour with the Turtles, Chuck Negron, formerly of Three Dog Night, the Association, the Box Tops, the Cowsills. Is Susan Cowsill on that, or is she not part of that?
Oh, no. She's a major part of it.
I know
she's
Susan.
So much, yeah, she's so much fun to be. It's like the mommy of the tour bus.
Uh-huh.
She takes care of everybody. She just loves people. She's always happy and very supportive. Every time an artist comes off stage, she's there applauding them as they come off. She is just such a positive influence on us. I love the Cowsills.
Yeah, I know her from her days in New Orleans. She played with a group called the Continental Drifters down there in New Orleans. And, she's quite the spirit. And then
they're a great singing group, yeah.
But the main reason I'm going is to see Ron Dante. I mean, how often are you on the road with this?
We just completed about 30 shows, and we're doing another 20 on this leg of the tour. It's been a marvelous experience. It's been so much fun to be with these people. Everybody likes each other on this tour. All the artists get along. We love each other backstage. We travel in two buses. And it's an enjoyable thing. And every night, you know, usually artists stay in their dressing rooms while other artists are on. All the artists are backstage watching the other artists and singing along almost. It's been a great experience. The crowds have been unbelievable. I mean, at one point, we had 8,000 people at the Pacific Amphitheater in California. And I said, what year is this? This looks like 1969 and 70 all over again. It was unbelievable response to these songs and the artists. I must say, this is the most fun thing I've ever done.
Really?
I toured when I was a young man with my other groups, but this is the most fun. This is an experience I will remember the rest of my life. It is so cool to be on stage, and the people who come to the shows have the best time.
I'm looking forward to it. Couple more things, and we'll let you go. Thank you for taking your time out with us. A friend of the show was just on about a month ago. It was Paul Schaefer, and you worked with him on an album called Street Angel, 1981, maybe in Miami.
You're exactly right. Paul Schaefer and I met at Don Kirshner's office when Paul was auditioning for a new TV show that Kirshner was doing called Year at the Top. And I met him, and we became fast friends. And I started to put Paul on my Manilow sessions. I let him. Manilow really liked his keyboard playing. So if you notice, Paul Schaefer is playing on a lot of Manilow hits. Also, Paul and I decided I wanted to go down and do an album at Criteria Studios, where the Bee Gees recorded in Miami. And I thought I'd catch some of that magic. So Paul and I went down there, and we hired a band, and we did the whole album down there. And it was a lot of fun, really cool. I must say, I missed the New York energy that we had in the studio. So we went back and remixed things. But Paul's a great fast friend, and he comes to every time I visit the East Coast, he usually comes to the shows. He's such a talented guy.
Yeah, actually, I saw him. I saw him not too long ago. He brought his band over out here at in St. Charles, suburban St. Charles, and he brought the whole band. It was a good show. What was the title track? Was that Larry Weiss, Scott English song, Street Angel?
Right, and I wanted them because Larry Weiss had written Rhinestone Cowboy, and Scott English had written the lyrics to Mandy. So I figured those two together, boy, I've got to use that song. They also, the two of them, were responsible for a song called Bend Me, Shape Me.
That's why I asked that, because that band was from Chicago, the American Brain.
That's right. And I did the demo for Bend Me, Shape Me. When Larry Weiss and Scott English did the demo, they hired me as the singer. So I was on the original demo of Bend Me, Shape Me, and then about 2 months later, I heard it on the radio, and of course, it was a good record, great singing, and I loved the band.
Everybody's writing music biographies. I'm sure you got one of them. Your story is fascinating, Ron. Are you working on anything like that?
You know, I've been approached many times, and I am working on a couple of things. Yeah. But I wanted to have a good hook, just like a great song. I wanted to have a hook, that people could hang their hat on and say, oh, Dante, he did this and that and this, you know. So I'll eventually get around to it. I just think that I'm so lucky that I'm creating new memories each day. Which is what keeps me, interested and happy.
Fascinating stuff. So it's the Happy Together Tour one more time at 8 o'clock, August 11th, at Four Winds New Buffalo Silver Creek Event Center. And don't miss Ron Dante as part of that bill. I'm really excited about it. So, Ron, we're going to play. We're going to end the show with something. Maybe you could do a little intro of Skate Key Boogie. It's the final track on the anthology record. So tell me about that. This is Dante's Inferno.
Right. I was into disco in 1979, 80, 81, around there. It was still big. And I love Melody's song, Skate Key.
Yeah.
So I wrote a song called Skate Key Boogie that complements her song. So it's kind of two songs in one. And I love it. It's very danceable, and I love singing it. And, I've got a brand new pair of roller skates. I love that hook. So I did it with my friend Harold Wheeler, who was an arranger who wrote I Will Survive. He was one of the arranged I Will Survive for Gloria Gaynor. So I knew I had a great partner in making a great dance record. And it's a lot of fun. I hope people enjoy it.
Okay, we're going to play that. And I forgot, I want to make sure people can get in touch with you. So before we sign off, what's your website and how can people stay in touch with you, Ron?
I'm on Facebook. Just look for Ron Dante with a red sweater, a red jacket. And I'm always looking, you know, I love friends. I have lots of them on there. Also, if they need to contact me ever, just go to rondante.com. I'm a .com, and I answer most of my emails that come in there. So please contact me and say hello.
Okay, thanks so much for joining us, Ron Dante. And here we are. We're going to end it with Skate Key Boogie. Thanks a lot.
Okay.